very big topic, and I'm reading you from this. I'm using from this sefer. This sefer is just a gem. Pardes Eliezer. Pardes Eliezer is a series of svarim. There are must be at least 15 volumes in this series. At least, maybe there's 20, maybe there's 25. And they're on all the Moadim, like on Chanukah, there are three volumes. One, no, it's a koilel. The style of writing is consistent throughout all of the volumes. I didn't learn all the volumes, but you know, touched here and there some of the volumes. So I don't really understand how it's a koilel when clearly one person wrote the whole thing. Because the style of writing is the same schnitt. An editor, it's a quite amazing, this is like a, I don't know how this person did this, an enormous amount of material, and seemingly there's a whole koil that compiles all the material. It's an enormous amount of material.
Well,
and all this.
Maya Beis HaShoeva was done that way. He had a whole bunch of company. He lived, because I had a brother-in-law who was one of those people. He said they had to work a couple of years till they picked out certain things to put in the sefer. And they did it, and of course he had to give it to Ascoma, but they took from all the things that he wrote over the years, and they put it together in a safe.
Okay. It was published by Art School. That was one of the very early work. My mission was published by Art School. It was the Chiddush, because it's not part of their series, but Okay, so this, now what's interesting about this series, I love this one, he has on Minhage Erisin Unisuin, alone, five volumes. Okay, I remember when I invested in this. It was a great investment. It cost a fortune. I invested in years ago. It was a great investment. I always come back and look at this farm. Just on Inyone Nisuin marriage, five volumes. I've never seen anything that is so comprehensive, so well organized on Minhagim. It's not Halacha. It's Minhagim. They've collected everything that's out there in the world about the different Minhagim and Klal Yisrael. And there's a certain slant. It's a little bit like more of a Hasidish Mahalich. But it's really just a compilation of an enormous amount of material. And he has to have a massive chapter with enormous amount of information, which I couldn't get through, could really touch the surface, about where is the best location, halacha, hashkafa, kabbalah, minog, to put up the chuppah. We've all gone to weddings, and sometimes the weddings, the chuppah is indoors. Nothing special, you go indoors. There's no hole in the ceiling. Just in a regular room. Regular, you go to a room where downs is up in the basement, not a basement. You look at the ceiling, there's no hole. Stop. You've all gone to weddings outdoors. Ever go to Marina Del Rey, a fancy wedding? They have one on a nice day. On a nice day, they have it outside. The planes go over. You can hear the planes when they go over. You go to the palace, you have the trains that go by. You go to Marina Del Rey, you have the airplanes. Okay? Any place we hear any boats, any ships going by? Any place, I'm sure there must be a place you probably go on. You go to the shipyards. What's it called? What's it called?
Navy Yard.
The Navy Yard? So maybe you hear some boats honking their horns. Go to Manhattan Beach. Maybe you'll hear a boat honking its horn passing by. Okay, there's always something to disturb the chuppah. You hear sounds outdoors. Or in the palace, it used to be the royale, right? You still hear the trains. The trains, the whole place shakes when the train goes by. Okay, any event, where we've all been to weddings where the chuppah is outdoors. Gone to a wedding, many of these places, for some they have, it's indoors. But when they design the hall to satisfy the customers, or to bring in business, people that are makbid upon this, they design the hall where there's a hole in the ceiling, and that hole in the ceiling goes outdoors. Okay, probably it's very expensive to do this when they design the hall, but I guess it's a business decision. Everything turns into money. You want to be able to chubush bitachas tachas harakia underneath shamayim. We'll discuss why. And therefore, in some halls, they actually have the chuppah. You may not even realize it, that on top of the chuppah, there's no ceiling. There's a skylight. A skylight, is the skylight closed? Is there a window? Is it open? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. All depends on the facility. And obviously in the winter time it's not such a great idea to have it open because it's going to get freezing cold. Yeah, no, it's no joke. It's part of the discussion of where it should be. Okay, we've all been. Yeah. One second, Baruch. Yeah.
And they started the
chuppah
and they wanted to open that window.
The skylight, yeah.
The skylight, they couldn't because a car parked on top of it.
A car parked on
the
chuppah. What?
They were
waiting a half an hour because there was a car parked on top of the skylight. They wanted to open the skylight. Chinka? Chinka? Yeah, okay. So I told you there are many minhagim. There are minhagim where to have the chuppah. Where I was never. Yeah, also, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. A shul. Okay, that's one of the big major topics. I'm sure everyone here has gone to a wedding where the chuppah was in the shul. Can't be. No one here didn't go to a wedding where it was in the shul itself, in the sanctuary. What? Okay, Abarach, I can't hear. Abarach, you speak. I can't hear. Maybe the sound.
By second marriage.
Yeah.
The second marriage
of
the chuppah.
Oh, so you're saying very good. You're saying Abarach is talking about a whole new topic of a second marriage. And or an almoin or a gusha, right? That's a big topic. That has a whole section on that, a subsection, which unfortunately I didn't get to in preparation. A major, it's all totally in the ikar reasons. Okay, that's a big, big topic in of itself. Is there a difference when it comes to a second marriage? Okay, so we discussed. You've gone to a chuppah. Most of the time, most people that I hang out with, they don't even know from this. You go to a chuppah. Who cares? The chuppah is a chves in a room. Who's looking? So the chassidim, you always see the black traffic. They have the chuppah outdoors, and then you'll go to a chuppah that's in a shul, and then you'll go to a chuppah that's indoors. That for whatever the reason is, the very makbid, there should be a skylight. When there's a skylight, sometimes the skylight is open, sometimes the skylight is closed. Now, what about a chuppah? Do you ever go to a wedding in someone's home? This you don't see much too much today. Okay, but it used to be by the goyim. It's a big thing, l'chayra.
I was in a house. My grandfather did it to a few people.
In the house?
Yes.
Okay, on television, always the weddings were in the house, right?
First wedding, yeah.
Okay, a wedding in someone's house. That's probably the most problematic. Having a wedding in a private home, in your home, in the Kala's home, we discussed this. Having a wedding in a home, a bias, a regular bias. Now, what are all the issues? What? Okay, COVID is an exception to everything in the whole world. You can't say the word COVID because COVID has broken the rules, has broken every rule in the world. Okay, people who would never take on leniencies for certain and Yanim found themselves coming on to the most incredible leniencies. So let's put aside COVID for a moment. You're right. During COVID, it was a whole different experience. And you should know, what you're saying is very interesting because COVID brought out many of the issues. I'm thinking out loud now when you said COVID. I'm after preparing some of this. Is a lot of the different issues about where the chuppah should be in some of, you know, dealing over here with 1,000 years of tradition, 1,000 years of minhagim. That's why this is a major topic of what went on for 1,000 years historically and what was written about it by the Gedolei Yisrael is goyim. Is what are the goyim going to say? What are the goyim going to say? Do we want the goyim to know that we're having a wedding? Where should the wedding be in secret? Why don't we want the goyim to know what we're doing? Is it because if they know that someone is getting married, they're going to charge taxes? There's going to be taxes? We want money? So we want to hide from the money? That's a very serious matter. Or is it because... Because the goyim get jealous. Is jealousy? Is it a spiritual concept? Ayin hara. Tibol hegmon. Okay, that's going back to more earlier than this whole discussion. All right, so you're saying something very, very good. When COVID came along, there was a very big issue. Is that if our host country, if the goyim know that there's a marriage taking place, it definitely drew attention. It definitely drew attention, even if you got married in your backyard, especially if you made a lot of noise. And even if you followed every single rule under the sun, it just made a lot of noise. It made a lot of noise, and people were talking, and some things made it to the news, to the media, some did not. And it created a controversy, created a storm, and I'm not going to give you examples of all different types of situations. I remember around the corner here from my house, there was a wedding, and a lot of people came to the wedding, and it made a lot of noise, and it wasn't so good. Even a private wedding in someone's backyard during COVID, too many people showed up. And it was a problem. I'm not talking about a wedding for 10,000 people or a Hasidic wedding. I'm talking about over here in this neighborhood, around the corner from this shul in someone's backyard. Nothing fancy. No tents, no nothing. Very simple, very low-key. But yeah, too many people showed up, and some people were not that happy, and it became a little bit of a problem. All right, so in Echanami, you're saying something very, very good, because a chuppah has always been a magnet to draw attention to the Jews, and who says it's such a good idea that it should be done in a way where the goyim know about it? And if it's done in the street, if it's done in public, even in the courtyard of a shul, it can be a very big issue. Okay, so let's discuss some of the locations of the issues. Now, in the Gemara today, it says in the Ramah. Let's Shulchan Aruch is the Iker. The Ramah says, I should really quote you the words of the Ramah. But the Ramah basically says that the ideal place for there to be a chuppah is outdoors. Tachas, kipas, the words kipas is a very unusual expression, kipas ha-shamayim. The Ramah says this. Now the Ramah generally lived relatively recent. I don't know how recent. What year was the Ramah? How many years ago?
He lived the same time as the Shulchan Aruch.
300 years ago about, right?
400
years? No, not 400 years.
Yeah, at least 400
years ago, so long ago?
Yeah, over 400.
It seems like he was here yesterday. Okay, so the Ramah writes, Tachas Kipas HaShemayim. Now that's a very big chiddush, because nowhere yet, it goes back, I have to go back to all the Makoros. Unfortunately, I'm not well prepared to all the details today. I didn't prepare to, as well as I should. I didn't realize what I was getting my head into over here. But the Ramah says, Tachas Kipas HaShemayim. Nowhere in the Talmud Bavli, nowhere, and the earliest source, is there any mention whatsoever that a wedding should take place tachas kipas hashamayim. And in fact, all of the earliest sources seem to indicate very, very clearly, if it's just from the flavor of the context, that it should take place indoors. For example, the Gemara talks about building a base simcha, a person builds for his children what's called a base simcha. Let me just turn to the paragraph. Some things I do have, some things written down over here. A base simcha, a binyan shel simcha. So Gemara Masechta Megillah. Gemara Masechta Megillah daf Hei Amidal Amibay Hei Amibays. A zehu binyan shel simcha. Okay, there are laws of what are you allowed to build in Chol HaMoed. There are laws what things that you're allowed to build during the nine days. A zehu binyan shel simcha. The Gemara says zeh haboine bayis beis chasnus lebinoy. Okay, what is called the binyan shel simcha that you're not supposed to build during the 9 days during times of avelus? This is a beis chasnus. The Gemara's words. A base chasnus lebinoy. What is that? So there's a perish Rashi. Rashi is a rishon. You can't argue with Rashi. Rashi says, kishemasi isha lebinoy harishon, when a man would marry off his first child, hayeboine lo bayis veoise loy chupa besoichai. I mean, this is the smoking gun. Okay, this is the smoking gun here. Rashi says explicitly that the place where the chuppah was done traditionally was indoors. And a person would build a special bayis for his son. He would build a unique bayis, and he would make the chuppah b'soichai. Rashi, Masechta Megillah, Daf Hei Amid Beis. This is smoking gun stuff. So where do all the chassidim come to make a chasna outdoors? When in the Rishonim, Rashi says explicitly the chuppah is done indoors. You don't need a skylight. You don't need to open up the windows. You don't do nothing. It's indoors. Okay, another example. Okay, the Ritva says, The Gemara Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim. There's another Gemara. Masechta Ksubis. No, the Ferish Gemara. They Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim Bebeis Chasanim. You make the Birchas Chasan Beis Chasan. That's what the Gemara says. Period. The king of Chuppah. Rashi explains. Kishenichnasal Lechuppah Linesuin. When do you make the Birchas Chasanim in the Beis Chasanim, in the Bat Beis? Kishenichnasal Lechuppah Linesuin. And the Ritva there explains, what are his words? His words are, no, Koloimai, no, this is all part of Rashi. Rashi, Urcha de Milsa Nokat, Bebeis Chasanim, the Ein Kepeda, Elo Levarich Oisa Bimokoim Chuppah. Okay, I have to analyze this a little bit more, but the Ritva quotes a Rashi. The Ritva analyzes this Rashi, and in the words of the Ritva, it's clear that the chuppah is done indoors. Okay, there's another whole Gemara. The Gemara talks about another interesting, very interesting Makari brings. This is very interesting, is that you're not allowed to have a chasna on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to have a chasna on Chol HaMoed because Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. And there, what is the Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha? It's the Su'udah. You know, because it's the same Su'udah. When you get married, you make a Su'udah. When a person gets married, you have a su'udah. On Chol HaMoed, you have a su'udah. So if you're going to go and get married, then it's going to be the same meal. Because anyway, you're going to have a su'udah for on Chol HaMoed. No, so there's no din a Friday night. Shabbos is not together. Ein bar b'simcha b'simcha. Very good. Shabbos is not only Yom Tov. V'samachta b'chagecha. V'samachta b'chagecha is only the din of Ein Bar Simcha B'Simcha is only on the Shalosh Regalim. There is no din of Ein Bar Simcha B'Simcha on Shabbos Kodesh. You're asking a very good question, because is there a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos? And the truth is, some say, we say in the davening that there is. In Nusach HaTfilah, we say on Shabbos, Katshenu b'mitzvah sef sechenu b'mitzvah sabenu b'mitzvah v'samchenu b'shua secha. We say v'samchein b'shua secha. There's another. This is not necessarily for Shabbos, but there's a Chazal. The Chazal says uviyoyim simchaschem uvimoyadechem uvroshi chotshechem usikatem bechatzoytzrois al olosechem yal zivchei shalmechem vayulchem luzikaroin. Some of the Rishonim learn uviyoyim simchaschem refers to Shabbos. It's my Chazal. Uviyoyim simchaschem is a Shabbos. I don't know if we pass it like that. Did they blow trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos? I don't remember. You have to go to Masechta Tainis. But some learn Uviyoyim Simchaschem Ze Shabbos. It's a Medrash, so maybe it's a Gemara. According to one opinion, it's Shabbos. So if that's the case, how are you allowed to have a Suda Friday night? Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. Good question. I don't know. I don't think we pass it like that. Medrash, you're allowed to have a Suda Friday night. Now in that Chazal there, that in that discussion, it says, describing...
Friday night,
right, no, it's even the chasna. No, the chasna, the suda
took place Friday
afternoon. Right, it was the suda. But still, the suda should be called Ein Bar B'Simcha B'Simcha. Okay, but in this sugi of Ein Bar B'Simcha B'Simcha, and part of what it says in the Rishonim is they describe what took place, and they describe, they made the chuppah, it seems like the way we do Pidyon Aben. They're different in Hagim. When we go to a chasna today, what do you do? What's the Seder HaDvarim? The Seder HaDvarim is first you have the ceremony. The ceremony takes place first. And after the ceremony, then you go and you go to the Su'uda. Go to Pidyon Aben. By Pidyon Aben, there's a very big hakpada that first you start the Su'uda. Anyone going to Pidyon Aben, you know that's the Seder. There's a reason for this. It's a hakpada. Pidyon Aben, you begin by washing and sitting down to the meal. And they serve the first course. And after the first course is complete, then in the middle of the su'uda, they do the ceremony. You take out the baby, bring in the baby, v'chulu, you say the nusach, the gansazach, you say barfri agofen, you go to the whole seder hadvarim in the middle of the su'uda. It appears that there are makoros for this, and that's part of the raya that in ancient times it was done indoors, is that by a wedding, some had the minhag to do the wedding the same way that we do today, Pidyon Aben. You go to a wedding, could you imagine it would change the dynamics of modern day weddings? I don't know for good or for bad. When you go to a wedding, the first thing you do is you eat. you sit down and you have a meal. And you serve, you wash, and you serve the first course. And then after the first course has been served, then the chasan kala march in. And hareyat mikudeshes libetabazu, and you say the seven blessings in the middle of the meal. Okay? That would you like that idea?
Yes.
That's that just like a pidyon haben. So it seems here, you have to read the source that I'm saying you is correct. One of the reasons why ein oisin ein ma'arvim simcha b'simcha, you're not allowed to have a wedding on Chol HaMoed, is because Chol HaMoed, any meal that you eat on Chol HaMoed has to be in honor of Yom Tov. If you're going to have a wedding in the wedding, so what does that mean? Look what's going to happen. You're going to be having your Su'udas Yom Tov, and then in the middle of your Su'udas Yom Tov, the Chasan Kal is going to walk in, and they're going to get married in the middle of the Su'udah. And they're going to do the chuppah. So then it turns out that the meal that you're eating is not only in honor of Yom Tov, it's also honor of the chasan kala. Wait a minute. You're having a meal, and the chasan kala are walking into your meal? I thought the chuppah is supposed to be outside. How could there be such a problem? The way the Rishonim described the problem of Ein Amr Simcha B'Simcha is you're having a meal. And the meal is really in honor of Yom Tov. And now the chasan kala walk in to the room, and they do the chuppah. They do the chuppah right in front of you, in the room, indoors. And then you continue the meal. So being that this meal is the meal in honor of Yom Tov, so it's not right that the meal should be hijacked. We're in the middle of the meal, you have a chuppah. What do I mean? The chuppah is not in the meal. The chuppah is outside. You don't eat in the street. If you eat in the street like a caliph, marriage is not for the dogs. Where's the name? He walked out just in time. So, from the way the Shalshelis Hadavarim, the way the Rishonim describe in Arma Simcha B'Simcha, it's very clear that the chuppah took place inside a room that has four walls and a ceiling. And they put up a little chuppah, not outside Tachas Kipas HaShemayim. So what happened? What happened from the time of the Gemara and the early Rishonim to the time of the Ramah, when the Ramah says that the place of the Chuppah should be Tachas Kipas HaShemayim? So obviously, a lot of this has to do with Minhage Yisrael. Now, first of all, it's not just Minhage Yisrael, this halachic considerations. And the main out, let's talk about having a chasna in someone's house. Many of the early Rishonim and Achronim, they warn, do not have a wedding in a house. Now there are different degrees of, there are different degrees of warning and severity of having a wedding in a house. And the main problem is, you go to a wedding, the halacha is, the chuppah has to be the property, the reshus of the chasa. Because the goal, what is chuppah? Chuppah is a kinyan. The chasan takes the kala leaves the reshus of her father and enters into the reshus of the chasan. That is why it's proper at a wedding. Okay, I'm assuming that it's a given that when you rent a hall and they set up a chuppah, even if the conditions are not specified, it's assumed, because you're dealing with a Jewish wedding, is that the caterer and whoever has a lease on this building is automatically, for the moment that the chuppah is taking place, this is your reshus. It's your property. Doesn't mean you own it, not necessarily, but it's under your authority. The chuppah, when you go to a wedding, in any wedding hall, and you see there are four poles, and there is some type of covering, awning, on canopy on these four poles, that area is the domain of the chasan. In some catering halls, they probably go to an Eretz Yisrael is probably more popular, where they go to a greater legal technique in specifying that during the moment of the chuppah, it is the reshus, it's his property, it's under his authority, it's being rented to him, it's his. I don't think he has to own it. But he has to have jurisdiction over that rishus. He can say to someone who doesn't like, get out of this box. Okay, the chassan legally can say this area here where the chuppah is my rishus here. I don't like you. Get out. Don't stand under this canopy. I don't like you. I don't want you to be here. I'm the balabas over this rishus. I've taken my wife, a Kenyan chuppah, into my rishus. Therefore, if you have the chuppah in the home of the kala, which is very common by the goyim, at least it used to be. I don't know what goes on today, but it used to be a very common thing in America, where when a woman gets married, she would get married in her home, in her parents' home. It seems to be very common. How do I know this? Watch television. Okay, all the weddings on television were generally in the home of the father of the bride. That is a no-no. That is basically majorly problematic, because that defeats the entire kinyan of chuppah. The kinyan of chuppah is to take the kala into the chosan's rishus, not that the chuppah takes place in the rishus of the kala. It's not a valid chuppah. What, you're going to go tell me that the father of the kala has given over his house? I'm giving you this, your house and the domain of the chuppah, to be your rishus? Ridiculous. Yeah, you can technically do anything that you want, but that's the whole tzura of what a wedding is about. You're doing a kinyan chuppah. The tzura of a kinyan chuppah is the kala leaves the rishus of her father, and she enters into the rishus of her husband. If the wedding is taking place in the rishus of her father, that defeats the whole purpose of chuppah. I know technically you'll have a legal arrangement, and even though this is her father's home, but this four poles and the canopy is the rishus of the husband. Okay, yeah. But it goes against the whole spirit of what marriage is all about. Okay, we have a solution. Let's go have the chuppah in the home of the father of the chassan. And that was done some places. We'll have, because the goal is to leave the rishus of the chuppah, is to leave the rishus. Yitzchak, when it, Adrabi, when he right, the rishus of the father. It's also problematic. Because you're not taking the kala into your father's rishus, you're taking the kala into your rishus. Now it's better, it's definitely better than having the chuppah in the home of the kala, of the father of the kala, because that totally defeats the purpose. At least the kala has left her father's rishus and has come into a different rishus.
But what's the difference between that and the wedding hall, giving you this
space? A wedding hall is neutral space. It's neutral space. It's neutral. You're right, it's not perfect either. You're right. The ideal chuppah, for real, would be to take her into your home. Before you get married, the chassan has a home, he has a home, he has an apartment, and the chuppah takes place in his home. That would be the ideal thing to do. The chassan takes the kala, because that's what chuppah is. The chassan is taking the kala into his rishus. If you're having the wedding in the home of the father of the bride, it doesn't make any sense. If you're having in the home of the father of the chassan, it also doesn't make any sense, because it's not his rishus. It's not his home. It's his father's home. So you want to go have it in someone else's home. So some of the rishonim here, the refarshim of the achron, they say gloy plug. There were certain kihilos where there was actually a takana. You don't have it in the home of a private person, because loy plug. It is a cardinal avera, I don't mean to that degree, to have it in the rishus of the kala. Because that's not chuppah. She hasn't left. She hasn't left her father's home. That's ridiculous. So in order not to confuse, there should be no confusion, loy plug, a chasana, or a chuppah should not be in a private home. Because not everyone is so smart to differentiate between the home of the father of the bride, which defeats the purpose of chuppah, versus the home, a person's private, the chassan's home, and this one and that one. Loy plug, we cannot have the chuppah take place in the private home because of a gezerah. Someone may be foolishly have the chuppah in the home of the father of the bride, which goes against the whole goal and purpose of chuppah. Chuppah is to take the kala out of the rishus of her father and bring her into your rishus.
having it in the father's home of the Kala doesn't make any sense. And having it in someone else's home, technically it's not so bad. It's not exactly the goal either. You're going into your rishus. They have to give you the chosen, your home for the moment. It's not as bad, but it creates confusion. And one thing will lead to another. And before you turn around, the next wedding is going to take place in the home of the Kala. And they're going to forget to go make all of the legal conditions that for the moment the home belongs to them. Loy plug, don't look for trouble. Go to a neutral location. So what's a neutral location? Good question. It all depends on the society.
I know the case where it was in the Kala's house. What?
In America, everything goes. In America, you don't ask questions. It's a problem. Today, you don't hear people making these takanas. People don't get excited about anything. But there were certain kihilois. There was a whole world before World War II. There was a whole world, and there were many kihilois. The kihilois were not so big. They were small communities. And there were rules. And there was a lot of confusion. So today, obviously, today people have it in private homes. People definitely have weddings in private homes, and they don't know, people necessarily don't know about these halachas. They're not familiar with it, and it's the job of the Mesader Kedushin to deal with these things, and the Mesader Kedushin has to be learned in these matters, and it's definitely, you're setting yourself up for a problem, and you have to really analyze how makbid were Chazal on this halacha, on this minog, not to have the chasn in the home of the kala.
So maybe this is why they moved it out outdoors.
They moved it outdoors.
Right.
That's part. There's no question about that. That's part of the equation. Now some say, but even outdoors is not so good. Outdoors is even also very problematic. Everyone talks about making a sukkah. A store makes a sukkah, a pizza store outside in the street, on the sidewalk. A gazula. A mitzvah babi avera. You don't have any right. You don't have any right to go and take away the sidewalk from the people. They take away the whole sidewalk. You go in Borough Park, there's certain kilos, you mamish, there's no room to walk. You have to walk in the gutter.
You don't have to walk in Borough Park. You can
look at here also. And they go, so they build, they go and they close off the street. They close off the street partially, they build nechitas. Oh, very nice, you just took away 3 parking spots. Very nice. 3 parking spots on 16th Avenue. Who gave you the right to do that? You have a permit to do that? Take away 3 parking spots? So you block the entire street. You don't leave any path at all. And you go because people have to walk. So they go and you're responsible. You go and you build a whole mechitza there to prevent. But you took away a whole bunch of parking spots. Who says that this is permitted? Okay, so you have all this Torah discussing this. A very common shiloh. You have shuls and you have stores, restaurants, and pizza stores who want to build a sukkah, and there's a problem. You're building it on public property. Is that halachically permitted? Well, let's talk about a chuppah. A chuppah, people, these certain halls, they make a chuppah outdoors. Where outdoors do you make the chuppah? In the street? Block traffic? Excuse me, the purpose of a chuppah is that the chassan takes the kala into his rishus. This is your rishus? Who gave this to you to be your rishus? You put up a chuppah in the middle of the street? You have a permit? It's illegal. It's illegal. Oh, the police don't care. Oh, good, they don't care, but it's still illegal. Dina de malchus sedina. Can the chassan legally say, this is my rishus? It's a kinyan chuppah. Kinyan chuppah. Before you get into all the beautiful Kabbalistic concepts of making a chuppah tachas kipas hashemayim, the moon, the shemesh, the stars. Hey, let's first deal with halacha. Let's first do the basics. Chuppah is a kinyan where the kala is taken out of her father's rishus and brought, enters into the domain of her husband. If you're making the chuppah outdoors in the street, that chuppah has to be the domain of her husband. Who gave that domain to the husband for the half an hour that the chuppah is taking place?
You're
who?
In the car, and you parked, and your chuppah is on the car. No one's going
to. Maybe you're right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm opening up the question.
Yes.
You want, obviously they do it all the time.
Yes.
obviously people build sukkahs outdoors all the time, and no one says boo. So obviously, so maybe you're right. But you know, but chuppah is a little bit more sacred than this. You're dealing over here with matrimony. You're dealing over here with nitzchis, doyrois. You're dealing, people go through crazy things. The simoni milsa, chassan doesn't tie, he does not do the tie, takes off his belt, he does takes off his shoelaces, all these bizarre things. You know, before you do all the bizarre things and don't ever heard of, let's do some of the basic things. You want to be very, very machmir. This is a sacred moment. Everyone is davening. The women are not the men. The men don't daven. The women, they're davening with the cards. They're davening. They're saying Tehillim. They're crying. It's an ace rot sign. You want to be machmir. Okay, so let's start with the basics. There's called a kinyan chuppah. It's your rishus, and the kinyan chuppah operates by taking the kal into your rishus. Some will go so far and say that it's a bracha levatola. It's an avera. You're saying the Shem Hashem, the Shem Hashem, seven times, more than seven times. You say you're making a kinyan. It's not a valid kinyan chuppah. It's not your rishus. The basic kinyan is to take her into your rishus. It's not your rishus. It's a bracha levatola. Do it again.
Four poles.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Probably not. Probably not. You have to. I don't know if it. I don't know to what degree. How in halacha you define a chuppah and what is the minhag of the four poles and holding the poles. But it has the basic yisoid of chuppah is the chassan takes the kal into his rishus. If it's indoors and it's owned by a catering hall and they have a lease, the catering hall probably doesn't even own the territory, the property. They probably lease it from someone. And they're going to sublease. It's also, you have a right to sublease? You have a right to sublease? You know, we look the other way. All of these things, we don't ask too many questions. In halacha, don't ask too many questions. The more questions you ask, the more trouble you're looking for. Even a caring one, what right do they have to go give this domain for the few minutes that he's there to give it to the chassan? All right, so that's a halbat
tzara. They do have, because they'll build a platform for the musicians, right?
The musicians are guests. If the balabas comes and says to the musicians, get out, he can get them out. Call the police.
No,
why can't he? Of course he can.
It depends what the contract is with.
This is way over my head. I don't know, maybe you're right. It's way over my head. I don't know how all the legalities and the law and halacha. But when you make a chuppah outdoors, I really believe you're entering into a different world of halach. And if you're so makbid, I know someone, he has in the yuchis from a greiser rebbe. So they brought to the wedding the couple of a rebbe from probably, I don't know, chvesa, from 300 years ago. They have this yarmulke, and they have this. So under the chuppah, he was wearing a yarmulke. A yarmulke from one of the biggest rebbes who ever lived. That the yarmulke is worth. How much is it worth?
Million.
He said either it's priceless or it's worth many, many millions. People will pay many millions, and they had a whole security team there. Not a joke, a security team to watch the yarmulke. And the second the chuppah was over, they took it. They put it into a case. They ran away with it back. The security team. Okay. You gotta wear the yarmulke when you're under the chuppah, right? Oh, you know, I'm an enikol, ben achaben. I have a right to wear the yarmulke. You're so makbid. What about the chuppah is in the street, in wherever the street is? Excuse me. The whole basic halacha is take the kal into your rishus. Who made this your rishus? You'll say, listen. Look what the goyim do, the shagoyim, what they goes on in the. I know. We're all well aware. Just because they do it doesn't mean it's a mila. It's a mila. Just because they cheat on taxes doesn't mean you should cheat on the taxes. Just because you want to have a zechus that you want to do it the right way. Who says this is the right way? That it should be a whole dilemma la halacha is your rishus and you're making brachos the shem Hashem on a kinyan. If the kinyan's not a good kinyan, the brachos levatola. Haloy Dovar? How do you explain this? Look, Pukhazi Mama Dvar, obviously, the Rabbanim certainly, I'm not no Chacham over from the Manishtan here, obviously the Rabbanim deal with this, and they do it every single day, and you've all seen Chubas take place mamish in the street. Okay, I've seen this many times, you have to go the other way because they're in the street. Obviously, they have reasons why halachically it's okay, fine. But you have to get a little bit of a flavor of all the, it's a very rich history of over 1,000 years of where is the ideal location for there to be a chuppah. A bias inside a person's house is big, big problem. Because having the chuppah inside the home of the father of the kala is against the grain of what the whole chuppah is all about. You're leaving the rishus of the father, you're going to the husband's rishus. So therefore it was a minug in certain kihilois loy plug. The same way you cannot have the chuppah inside the home of the father of the kala, do not have it in any private home, because before you blink, you're going to forget the next time around, and it's going to end up in the home of the father of the kala. So don't do it there. Oh, so then, so therefore you're looking for a neutral place.
No, in the other father of the kala.
No, that's the father's rishus. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. I know in America, people do whatever they want to go do. In America, we live in the land of the free. We're free from any she'elos. There are technical ways. Listen, there is always a solution. You want to smoke? No problem. You just rent your lungs to a guy. You're not going to be nichshol. There's always a solution. But we're talking about ideals. Okay, theoretical concepts. So what do you want? The neutral location. So over a certain period of time, the best place to have the wedding would be in the chotzer of the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because the courtyard, now in the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses is owned by the shul. And they have the koyach, leiv bezdin masne, that the chotzer should be the reshus of the chassan for his wedding. That was the rule. That's the nusach over here in the achrayim. The chotzer Beis HaKnesses under the authority of the kihila. A kihila is the Beis HaKnesses, and the Beis HaKnesses is a chotzer, a nice open place, enough room for everyone to gather. And leiv bezdin masne, it is their power. They have the authority that they can give the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses, because it's the shul, the kehila, to the chassan, it should be called his domain. So he can be mekayim, the king in chuppah, with hidur. When the kala comes into the chotzer, the kala is coming into his rishus, and the male, there's no sofik of bracha levatola. So now you'll ask, once you're in the chotzer, let's go into the shul itself. The shul is much nicer than the courtyard. Have it in the sanctuary. Have the chuppah in the sanctuary itself. So the truth is, there are many kihilois, Chassam Sofer even writes about it. He let it happen. They did it inside the shul itself. The shul, the same thing. Leiv bezdin masne. Now, yeah, it's a little bit of a chiddush.
Chassam Sofer was the one who legislated not to have
Later. Because of reform.
Right.
That was the Chassam Sofer.
Okay.
But the Chassam. Okay, I'm not sure. You have to go through all the history. It's a very, very complicated history, and this was definitely done. But there are big problems in the shul. Big problem in the shul. First of all, who says getting married is a mitzvah? Who says it's a mitzvah? The mitzvah is having children. Periyo Riviya. You just can't go have a board meeting in a shul. That's not respectful. Okay, we do it anyway. Today everything goes. Don't get me wrong. They'll show movies in the shul, right? Everything goes today. But a shul is a shul. They don't go have a board meeting, a community board meeting in the shul. You don't go have a play poker. You don't go play bingo in the shul. That's not what a shul is. It's a makam kodesh. Who says getting married is appropriate to have a marriage in the shul? Marriage is a very nice thing. You make brachas, but it's not a davarsha bekedusha that you do in a shul. Who says you can do so? Now let's say, okay, listen, we make a tanai. The shul doesn't have kedusha. Not every kehila back in the day made a tanai. It was sacred. And even if you do make a tanai, if it's not the right thing to do, you don't do it. Like today, you don't go having a shul, a funeral. It's not the right thing to do. Oh, but every single shul today is all built al tanai. Okay, just because it's built al tanai doesn't mean that you should do it. That's one issue. Issue number two is, traditionally, when you wake up have a wedding, where does the chasan kala stand? They stand with their back to the wall. They face the oilam. Cover that tzibur. Cover that. So if you would have a wedding in a shul, in the traditional, okay, that's the reason why they don't do it. But generally, when we go to a wedding, what do you do by the weddings that we go to in a wedding hall? The chasan kala face the tzibur. And the mesader kedushim faces forwards. So it's not so posh that you're allowed to put your back to the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, when the Darshan gets up to speak and he puts his back to the Aron HaKodesh, you know how many teshuvos have been written? What's the heter for a Darshan when he gets up to speak to put his back to the Aron HaKodesh? What's the heter? They kiss. That's why the minig is, when you fall, you come to speak, you kiss the Poroiches. Why? I'm not coming here to put my back. It's a pasuk. It's a terrible, it's a horrific one. Yirmiyah is that in the Beis Hamikdash, lahachis in the Beis Hamikdash, they would put their back to defecate towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim and bow to the sun. Okay, the sun, they would rise in the east. They would bow to the sun with their back to the west, defecating. At the same time, worshiping the sun and insulting Hashem. It's shocking to hear such. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. This is what they did. This is like a legend of the disrespect of putting your back to the Aron HaKodesh, to the Kodesh HaKodashim, and bowing at the same time to the sun. Bowing. So how dare does a person put their back to Aron HaKodesh? Today, Bizman Hazeh, it reminds everyone of those psukim. So how is a darshan put his back to Aron HaKodesh? It's a big, big problem. It's not a simple thing to do. And that's one of the things that you kiss when you come, you speak, you have to kiss the poroiches. I'm not showing you disrespect. By a chasna, the minig is the chasna kala face the oilam. That's kavod hatzibur. You face the oilam. But this, they're not giving a drasha. They're not darshanim. They're not giving a drasha. No one's, they come there, they get married. Who gives them the right to put their back to the Aron HaKodesh? So what's the solution? They should face the Aron HaKodesh out of respect. Oh, very good. And where's the Masada Kedushin going to stand? Oh, so he has to be the carbon and put his back to the Aron HaKodesh. Manavshach. Many people today who have weddings in shuls, they face the Aron HaKodesh out of respect. But that's not really a good solution, because even though the Chasan Kala are facing the Aron HaKodesh, the Rav, the Mesader Kiddushin, and the people who make the brachas there, their back is to the Aron HaKodesh. So you can't win them all. So it's not necessarily the correct thing to do. But some say, no, it's not so bad. Marriage is a mitzvah. It's the greatest mitzvah. L'sheves Yetzara. And Adarabba, you want to instill in the Chasan Kala the Kedusha. Where better could there be a place to instill Kedusha into the wedding, the bris, then in the Beis HaKnesses, the Baruchos are said, the Shem Hashem. So you can argue this back and forth. And then comes the most lethal element in this whole equation is Chukas HaAmim. That this is how the Goyim get married. The Goyim get married in the church. So that becomes a very big issue. And then what became the most lethal element of every single thing that we said here about a shul is reform. The reform movement decided this is the ideal place to have a wedding in the shul. It was a much bigger problem having a wedding in a shul because of the reform movement than the church, than the goyim. A lot of things the goyim do, we're not always so concerned about copying them. It's a problem. No one's denying that the goyim, they get married in a church, so it will be chukas ha'amim for us to get married in a shul. That's a halal b'tzara. But it became a major, major battle internally, where many people left the fold, and they were enamored by this new religion, Reform Judaism, and they were like pasach al shnei asifim. They made believe they're orthodox, but they really were leaning towards reform. And one of the very popular customs of reform was to have the wedding in a church, in a shul. And in order to show you're not one of them, I'm not one of them, no way would you have it in a shul. Today, the reform movement is dead. So today, many people have gone back to the old minhag. The old minhag, no question about it, the gedolim, the biggest gedolim Yisrael got married in a shul, and they held adarabah. Shul is pretty good, because leiv bezdin masneh, the shul can decide that the chuppah in the shul can be the rishus of the chasan, and the shul is a makam kodesh, and it's very kedai to instill upon the chasan kala, the sanctity of davar shabbat kedusha. Reform is dead. Chukos Amim, we never really paid much attention to anyway. It wasn't always an issue. And Adrabo, they took everything from us half the time. So a shul is...
It's only if they you had to think before we did.
Right, that's the whole question. Who came first, chicken or the egg? That became a whole big issue. So today it is a mixed bag. A lot of today, the trend in the Haredi world today is definitely not to have a chasna and a shul. There's no question about that. There's no question about that, that in the yeshivish circles, they look down upon it. They don't look down upon it. They don't do it. However, every so often, people, they get married in these beautiful places, shuls, and they have magnificent shuls, and you're invited to a wedding, and the wedding takes place in the shul. I went to a beautiful wedding in the Great Neck Synagogue. Okay, magnificent. And I'm sure there are many weddings. What?
Now, how does it went to a wedding good within a shul, then I realized it was a conservative?
Oh, so that's another sugya. Yeah. That's a different sugya of having it a conservative shul.
It was a through my life.
Right, so that's another sugya. That's a whole nother sugya. Are you allowed to go into a conservative shul? Are you allowed a catering hall in a conservative shul and use it? Sorry? A temple. That's another topic. Okay, but not even that we're not discussing. That's a different topic. I'm talking about over here an Orthodox shul. An Orthodox shul. Rav Moshe was Mekel. He says under the caterer, and Rav Moshe was Mekel, you can make it in a conservative shul. Sorry? He was a Masonic Lush in one event? He was we were in a conservative shul?
No.
Only a regular shul. Right, I didn't prepare. That's a difference. So the sugya of a conservative shul is a different sugya.
Right.
Okay, let's. I'm talking about an Orthodox shul. In what? Right, okay. Rav Moshe was Mesader. Rav Moshe himself was Mesader Kiddushin in an Orthodox shul. It's very common today. It used to be much more common. It used to be much, because there weren't so many halls like there are today. Today there is a plethora of halls. But it wasn't, but years ago, that was when you got married, in a shul. And it was a beautiful shul, you know, you get married in the shul. I went to a number of weddings in shuls. Okay, and look, we presented all the issues. There are issues that go both ways. Now, outdoors became is the Ramah. You can't argue with the Ramah. The Ramah, now obviously when the Ramah talks about outdoors, the Ramah is not dealing with the street, taking away from the Rishus HaRabim, because that's a halachic issue. Outdoors, according to the Ramah, means the Chosan owns the Rishus. The Rishus is given to him. And legally, so there's no Shaila today, unfortunately, many times that is taking place outdoors, they're real Shailas, Brachal of Atala. So is it a kosher Kenyan? Do it again. Is it a kosher Kenyan? Because who gave you this Rishus? Okay, but who gave them Rishus? Just because the police don't shut you down because they're not looking for a fight doesn't mean it's yours. And if you're dealing with the world of Halacha, it's a king. You're taking the kala into your rishus, and you're making seven blessings. If it's not your rishus, it's not a valid kinyan chuppah, and the brachas are brachas levatala, and you're not allowed to live with your wife. Asher osalanu esarusais. No? So what's going on? The yamakbit to wear the yarmulke of the Baal Shem Tov, that yamakbit on. But on gezel of property of the rabbim, that you're not makbid on, and the gezel of the rabbim can technically be an ikuf in the maisa kinyan, which means that you're also to live with your wife for the rest of your life, and the brachas or brachas levatan wasn't a valid kinyan. It doesn't make sense. Before you mahader in wearing the yarmulke of the Baal Shem Tov, you should be mahader in that the rishus that you're making the chuppah is yours. Doesn't that make sense? Am I saying crazy things here? Today we're so obsessed with the tofel and we don't focus on the ikor. So you're going to be mekel. Okay, I'm not chas v'shalom being mekatrik. Obviously, there's an understanding that the oilam is not so makbid. The goyim do what they want in the street. How many times do you walk on the street? You can't go because the goyim are here. So for 5 minutes, we can get married in the street. You pay your taxes. You do this. Big deal. You can have the Rishus Sarab for 10 minutes and have your wedding there. Obviously, the Rabbonim feel that it's not such a big deal. It's everything is kosher v'yosher. 100%. Okay, very quickly, we're out of time. The last thing over here is that the Ramah says, Tachas, what's the thing of having outdoors? So there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful concepts. And one of them, Rabbi Mayevsky told me is that it's a simin toif, the stars. You want to have it outdoors under the stars to be zoich, this more of koye zaracha. There's another, a lot of Torah is that the first zivug in the world is what? What was the first zivug? Not the mechava. No, the shemesh and the levana.
Oh.
The shemesh and the levana in the world of Kabbalah is a zivug. And have pages and pages over here describing how the shemesh, sheva brachos Torah, how it's the ultimate zivug, the ultimate.
Who's the
shemesh, it says, beferish apasik. It's a beferish apasik. Kechoson yoytze mechu pasay is the shemesh. And the levana is like a color, a woman's cycle. Dam nida is levana. And it's patterned after levana. It wanes and waxes. The ganze whole thing, there's the chidush ha-levana. A woman is in this chadesh once a month. The ultimate zivug in the bria is the shemesh and the yoreach memela as a simin toiv to get married outdoors in the presence, either at night, it's going to be the levana, or by day, it's going to be the shemesh. Okay, or the, like we said, the stars, tacha, and there's a lot. And then there is also another concept of getting married publicly. This is very beautiful. Why get married outdoors publicly? Be mefarsim. Why? This is very interesting because Klal Yisrael, when they worship the Egel, Chazal say the only reason why they worship the Egel was to be matir arayos. Who wants to bow down to a stone? The reason why, it means you make a new religion that breaks all morals. Taivas noshim. All these religions, Hellenism, everything they did was in the nude. You know that in Hellenism? The whole goal of Greek philosophy was pritzos. That was the goal. All this philosophy, the mind, it's not a philosophy. It was all a way of being poirek all to walk around without any clothing. That's what it's all about. Like they only made out of the Zohar to be matir arayos. What do you do when you get married? And Klal Yisrael, when they worship the Egel, they did this. That's what they did. They worship the Egel to be matir arayos. What do you do when you get married? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kidushanu b'mitzvosav, v'osar lanu es ha'arusos. It's osar. Even your own wife is osar. V'hiti lanu es ha'nesuos. Lanu al yichul v'kudushin. You get married outdoors to be mefarsem. The laws of arayos. As a kapara for the chet ha'egel, where we publicly cancel the laws of Arayos. A whole different din. The din of getting married outside has nothing to do with the stars, according to this approach. It's you get married outdoors in public to be mefarsem that in Judaism there are laws, morals, who you're allowed to be married, who you're not allowed to marry. Even your own wife, there are times that it's mutter, times that it's osser. And Arusa is osser. It's to publicize that Hashem, we are loyal to the Torah, the loyal to the laws of Arayos. Okay, there's a whole chapter on this, but we've run out of time. At least we did a little bit of a taste of some of these issues.